Forever Dog.
To a new episode of Very That, starring me and Delta Work.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you're at. And
should we make that more like uniform all the time? Like, welcome to Very That. I'm Raja and I'm Delta. Like, it's more exciting, you know, because I listen to other people's podcasts and they have all this, like, you know, we talked about how sometimes we'll just start talking and like we'll get monotone with one another because we don't need like all the inflection. But I think maybe other people like all that, like you know, storytelling is very
we could, but you know, this is what, episode 5. Am I counting that correctly? This is episode 5.
I think so.
And you know, and there's time for us to figure that out. I don't think there's any real rush or any
rush,
you know.
Rush. You lover, come to me.
Oh, do I ever get to tell my Paula Abdul story publicly about not yet.
That's what this is for. That's what this is for. I actually have a Paula Abdul story too. Actually, not Paula Abdul, but someone else that has to do with Paula Abdul.
Arsenio Hall. Yeah, remember they used to date?
I actually used to think, was Arsenio Hall the voice of the cat in Opposites Attract? Was he the voice?
The scat cat?
Yeah, you're a scat cat.
You're a scat cat.
Hoffa.
Anyway, I gotta admit something to you, and I hate to be so serious right at the beginning of it, but you know, this is already afternoon here in Los Angeles, and so I spent a good part of the morning just catching up on new Netflix stuff. Like, you know, I love Netflix. I love the idea that we are, you know, in 2020, we have access to anything we want to watch. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find it anywhere. And Netflix recently loaded up a whole new group of movies, starting with, hold on, there's a Dolly Parton documentary.
Oh, can't wait.
Mary, can't wait. You haven't seen it?
No, I haven't.
It is so good. It is so good because it kind of limits the conversation of Dolly Parton to the people who really have great or just really solid opinions of her, not just like, I'm a fan. But these are people like Jane Fonda is interviewed on it, Lily Tomlin, Kylie Minogue, you know, and it's this beautiful documentary on Dolly Parton. So that got me started. Okay. And then it got me started because she personally talks about Code of Many Colors, which is her favorite, her personal favorite song to perform.
Okay.
And so that got me on a whole like, oh, I love that song. And I got all emotional about it. And, you know, and the description of that song is really about, it's a song about bullying. Then, as soon as I finished that documentary, after like having all the tears and the like remembering of seeing, I've seen Dolly Parton twice live in performance. The first time was with a certain DJ friend of ours from the Inland Empire. And I saw her at the House of Blues in a small venue.
Fun.
Yeah. And you cried, you laughed. And, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to Trixie Mattel for like sort of bringing a little bit of like, you know, a little bit of somewhat attention to the younger group of people, because she somehow like finds, you know, she mimics her in a lot of ways and finds a lot of inspiration out of her. But ultimately it is the Dolly story. I've been to Dollywood 3 times. I love Dolly Parton.
I love Dolly Parton too.
Yes. And while I was watching this, I noticed that some of your mannerisms are very Dolly.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah,
like what?
Very that. Anyway,
is it just
which parts? Which parts?
All of it. All of it.
It's this sort of like, I acknowledge the cheapness of it all, and you can look at it any way you want to look at it. But guess what? It's there's a certain way that you carry yourself that gives me a lot of Dolly. And I know that Dolly is a big influence for you. You've impersonated her many times, and do a damn great job at it. But there are certain characteristics. I'm like, you know what? I bet all of us have adopted some of the things of our, you know, of our many heroes. And that's probably one of the reasons why we do drag today. So anyway, that's how I began the first part of my day while I had my morning coffee and waited for the first great bowel movement of the day.
Well, you know, I think Dolly Parton's an Aquarius.
I look that up and you're almost right. She's actually a Capricorn. She's about
Capricorn.
A day.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a day away from, like, I think most astrological signs start out at about the 20th and her birthday is January 19th. I looked it up. I was like, what is this about this woman?
Yeah. See, because I land on the 23rd,
So you're at the beginning of Aquarius, mm-hmm. but I think there is that thing. And you can actually look up on Google, if you look up Dolly Parton's birthday and sign, there's a whole astrological chart of her moons and suns, and she's a Capricorn. But crazily enough, like, I don't know very much about Capricorns, but the more I dig into people's signs and find out about, you know, like, recently I've been discovering that most of my friends are Aquarians, and, you know, and so anyway... This is all so loaded because I'm just like, I'm such a Dolly fan. And then, immediately after I finished that film, you know, Netflix now gives you suggestions of what you should watch because you enjoyed that one. You might want to watch this. And now there's this other documentary called, it's like Bully, but with like the no sign through it. And it is a documentary shot currently, like right now. Within the last few years about bullying and what it is like for kids who experience bullying in this day and age, including cyberbullying. And that, you know, I was bullying. Well, I think many of us are friends, and the reason why we've connected to each other, why we do drag and why we perform and make such a spectacle out of what we do is because there's a part of us who is still retaliating against that, against being bullied.
I think that's very possible.
I think that is very, very possible.
Probable, actually.
Yes. Yeah,
it's
probable. So I'm kind of about, let me see. I have 40. I'm about halfway through this film right now, and I've been crying all morning. I am sorry. And I really wanted to put makeup on and get in drag, but I was just so emotional.
You were
emotional.
Well, how much wine was involved though?
About a half a bottle.
Okay, so not much.
No, and there, I had breakfast. It was just, you know, it's just that morning, and there is those traces of fall that is coming in this morning here in Southern California. Are you into it?
I am so into it. Like yesterday I was out and I realized that it wasn't 100 degrees outside. And I thought to myself, it was maybe like, I don't know, almost 90 or so. And I just kind of looked out wistfully and I could see the waves of heat still on the asphalt. And I thought, fall is here. And I'm like, wait a minute, fall is here. It's 90 fucking degrees outside.
I know.
But for us mm-hmm. in October, I mean, that's about all we're getting. So a 10 degree decrease, it's a new season for us, you know?
It really is.
I'll take it.
I felt it as soon as I got up this morning. I was like, because I always leave a window open just to allow some air into my room.
For the Night Stalker to come in.
And I was like, oh, there's something there. It's like, oh, my blankets all of a sudden feel more blankety rather than a nuisance.
I love that.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. And then I came into my kitchen and made hot coffee. And I should have had a pumpkin spice creamer to go along with.
I got a little pumpkin spice right here. Look at this little pumpkin spice.
Which one is pumpkin, that one?
This is Tango.
That's Tango.
He's a pumpkin spice.
Oh my God. He's so cute.
Right? He's such a baby. He's only 2 years old.
Oh my God. So he's like the baby.
You know, Tango. Tango's like the little one. So he's 2 years old and he's a rescue cat. And then the other one is Cha-Cha. And she is a rescue cat also. And she's like a thin little black cat. And obviously they're both named after.
You have a black cat?
I do, yeah.
They're
both named after ballroom dances because Davey is a former ballroom dancer.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Tango.
He just
what
hops
a cutie.
Around.
He's so cute.
He's so fluffy. He doesn't know. You don't even know what's going on, do you?
He doesn't mind. He doesn't care.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's more concerned about the perfumes that you're wearing.
Yeah, I actually sprayed a perfume on earlier. It was this bottle. And something about it smells like vomit. And I never I never experienced that. It's an inexpensive perfume.
I think I have experienced that, where it's like there's something about it.
You know what it smelled like? Like vomit that like dries in the back of a car. You know that like residual. I don't know what I don't know what it is. I keep calling it vomit or red ass, like a red swollen ass. I don't know. Just something about it is not. But the bottle's pretty, so, you know.
It's either like vomit or dried spit. There's that moment,
there's a
too,
smell.
Where it's like, is it me? Did I like drool on myself and let it crust? Or
we actually
is that the
did
perfume
a
I'm wearing?
We did a show or an in-person appearance very recently, and everybody separated in the dressing room to different levels. And Madame LaQueer had this perfume that she sprayed on, and it was Delicious, I think, by like Fred Heyman or something like that. And she goes, oh, I'm supposed
specific.
To smell delicious.
So specific.
She goes, I'm supposed to smell delicious. But she goes up to someone pretty distanced, I would say about 10 feet. She goes, can you smell me from here? Do I smell like farts? And the girl, I can't remember what girl it was. She was like, do you smell like farts? Why would you ask that? She's like, I think my perfume might have like turned. And I was like, baby, let me tell you something. I don't know everything about perfume, but I do know that when perfume turns, it doesn't smell like farts. So if it's farts, I think it's that suitcase, madame. I think it's that suitcase.
Or you could have just farted, madame.
Maybe just admit it. You farted. And it's not delicious.
You know what? I'm not afraid to admit if I've farted.
It's fine. You know, it's fine.
Yeah. As we get older, we might become a little bit more incontinent. And
well, I'm only months behind you, so I'm sure I'll be there.
So anyway, that's been my morning, and it, you know, and I feel like a lot of it is just due to the change in weather, and then they were like kind of the same theme movies, because Dolly was talking about The Coat of Many Colors and how it was a song essentially about bullying. And then there were just so many. You got to watch first. You need to watch this Dolly documentary, because it is so cool. And I mean, it's just profound.
I know
how, like,
I have to watch it.
How punk rock fucking Dolly Parton is. She's, you know, and it shows multiple interviews through her past. I could go on and on and on. We could make a whole episode about
that.
Dolly Parton.
No, yeah. I like that you say that about something being punk rock, because I think a lot of people think that punk rock is only about music. But to be punk is to truly have an opinion that even if other people disagree with it, you will always have that opinion. You will always have that way about yourself. You will always do things really in the name of others, even though it doesn't seem like other people would say, oh, that just seems so off-putting or whatever. But that's not the case. Like, there's a goal and an intention behind it. And that is to be punk rock, to be sort of against the grain.
Absolutely.
Not just music.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a philosophy. It's an attitude.
Yes.
Yeah, but Dolly Parton, there's actually a scene of her in the 80s and her 70s. I don't know. But she goes to like England for the first time. And in the audience, in her first visit to England was during the punk period. And in the audience is a bunch of punk rockers with mohawks. And she's like, hi, y'all.
It.
She's like, I've been way more punk rock than y'all ever was, or something like
I
that.
Love.
And I was just like, my heart completely burst out of my chest.
Sure.
With that said, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back to something.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week, you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah, and under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts, and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
All right, we're back. Welcome back to Very That with Delta and Raja, a very new podcast where we talk about whatever we want to talk about and you will listen.
Today's the day we're going to talk about whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like that's been every day.
We sort of have an outline of what we'd like to talk about and touch upon, but mostly we talk about whatever we want.
Mostly we just moan and make weird noises for no apparent reason and talk about, like, I'll talk about the same thing over and over. You know, I'll talk about this over and over. I don't care who's listening. Right. I don't care in corporate who's listening to that, because people are like, you complain a lot about fucking coffee. And you know what? I do. I actually thought about having my own OnlyFans, and my content would be exclusive complaints, things I don't complain about on social media. I would save that for my subscribers to find out what I'm really upset about.
I don't think that is a terrible idea.
I think
that's a great idea. You can use OnlyFans however way you want to use it. I can't imagine you showing your dick and pussy, but...
Well, and I know people that, you know, I really quick have to hit on this. I've been seeing it more and more, especially with the pandemic. People are putting up their electronic payment platforms and things like that just to, you know, make their rent and all that stuff.
Of course.
And I see more and more people launching OnlyFans content. And it's so interesting to me how many people in this fucking day and age will shame someone for making pornographic content or adult content, but are going to sit back in private and consume that content. So what is the problem with people doing? I mean, if you listen, once upon a time I thought to myself, like, oh, if I had the body for this, you know what? I already have the body for it. I have the body for whatever, because there's somebody that wants to consume that content.
Of course.
Even if there's only one person, well, then that one is enough. But I am here to say that it's pretty fucking hypocritical to read people for creating adult content, but then consuming that content in private. Do you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Anyway.
I don't read anybody, because I am actually a patron and a
customer
of OnlyFans. I follow a few.
Absolutely.
And
support
I enjoy self-pleasuring as my friends expose their you know, genitals free, well, not freely, probably about $9.99 a month. And yeah, Aja's got one, so I might subscribe to Aja and help her
Why
out.
Why not? 'Cause
I know she's packing, and I want to.
Why not?
I want that dick to tell me the future, because she's, you know, very like psychic and mystical and stuff. Yeah. But,
you can make that connection.
Please,
make
why
a connection.
Not? Yeah.
So listen, from the annals of the inbox.
Speaking of
we
annals.
Have, speaking of annals, you can read. People can write to us. People have been writing to us. And if anybody's listening right now and you want to write to us and you want to ask a question or provide a comment with a topic of conversation that maybe we've hit on and we should talk about more, send us an email to deltaandraja@gmail.com. And we have two letters, so we're going to hit on the first one. Our first letter is from Brian. Hey, chicas, do you see something? I absolutely love what you both do and love you guys loads.
Ooh.
Ha, fag. I'm from the UK, okay? So what
oh,
I heard...
Oh, and he said chicas?
He said chicas.
People he say said, chicas in the UK?
Well, he does. Brian does. Because he saw something.
He saw something.
I'm from the UK, okay? So what I've heard is that in America, the land of dreams, the gays will discriminate against foreskin. I just want to know, is that true? Because girl over here, foreskin is like Willem's beard, easy to find. Oh, that's fucked up.
Oh, man.
I never see Willem's beard, but I guess maybe, I don't know. You can see my beard sometimes, but.
I have a beard right now, so.
P.S. I have COVID and I'm isolating and I'm going nuts, but your podcast is keeping me sane. Thank you so much, Brian, a.k.a. cashier number 4. So he's asking if people in the United States are disproportionately more likely to discriminate against foreskin than in the UK or other parts of the world. What is your experience?
My answer is yes. And let me go back to what's the person's name?
Brian, cashier Brian. Number 4.
Brian, I hope that by the time this airs that you're feeling so much better, because part of your paragraph there was that you have COVID right now. So do take care of yourself. And I hope you feel better very soon. But to the question, yes, I think we are very discriminatory against foreskin, and I find it ridiculous. That's where I'll start it. Yeah, I find it ridiculous because, first of all, that's how your dick is supposed to be.
Right.
That is how your dick is supposed to be. And we have just grown accustomed to Judeo-Christian, Western religion kind of idea of like desexualizing or removal of sexual feelings down there, that we've become so used to the idea of the lack of foreskin as being normal. And this is thousands of years worth of religious. I mean, ultimately, the only reason why anybody would rid of foreskin is because of religious reasons, wouldn't you think?
Yes. No? And but the thing is, it all is so evident in ways that are not sexual, but that, that trickle down and it's about shame, right?
It really?
It's about shame. If you think of, and I think about this all the time, when I hear people say, when they're talking about dressing their body, now, obviously you want to dress the way that you feel confident or you love or whatever that is. But why are, but when you dress yourself based in quote confidence, that means that you're making an allowance for something. That means you're going, I must disguise this because it makes me uncomfortable because other people have told me that this is unacceptable. So, you know, as a plus size person, much larger than most people who say that they're plus size, you know, I'm 300 pounds. So when I go somewhere and I look to buy something off the rack, especially for drag, I will see something that is that will say, you like that dress? Here's something to cover up your arms. You can buy this to cover up your arms, because it's considered shameful and unsightly to have your, you know, fucking bingo wings out. But that's the way this body is at this point. Doesn't mean that it can't be changed if I choose to change it for whatever reason. So, but with the idea of the foreskin, it's another issue of shame. Oh, don't tell anybody. Don't take a picture of it, because we've been told that the most beautiful penis is a circumcised penis. So those are the ones that you want people to have pictures of. That's what we've been told. That's the way it's supposed to look. It's supposed to look like a porn star, or it's only worthy if it's 7 inches or more. That's what we're told, that you can enjoy whatever it is that you want to enjoy, and you can appreciate whatever, but to shame someone for essentially being born, like that's the born form of the penis.
Right.
What is so shameful about that? I don't understand, but in other ways it, you know, you see these underwear that are being sold that say, oh, well, you know, slip your dick and your nuts through this sleeve to make yourself present like you're larger than you are, so that when people see you, they'll go, oh, yeah, you must have a really big dick. I can tell in your underwear. And then what happens when you pull it out of the ring? Then people see the truth. Do you see what I'm saying?
Or the panties now that are constructed as gaffs to conceal it, you know, and
yes,
what is, you know, there's a fascination with genitals that could be its own 2-3 hour episode that we can
absolutely
talk about, because we have been obsessed with genitals for a long time.
Yes Brian yeah. Brian is right.
In America, we are definitely very discriminatory against foreskin, and it is, in my experience with all the dicks that I've had, I've always been sort of envious to the men that I've encountered, or the penises. Uh-huh. I don't want to put all penises on men.
No, not at all.
I'm just saying, all the penises that I've encountered that have had foreskin, I've always been very envious, because I realize that there's a certain thing you do to it that allows a sensitivity that I would never be, I as a person who is without, you know, I would never be able to experience it in the same way. So
right.
I'm mostly now, as I've become older, I don't discriminate. I like dick.
Oh.
No, thick.
Well, listen, we have one more letter, and I'm guessing based on the name that we might know who this person is.
Okay.
This letter is from Ozma.
Of Oz, yes.
Ozma of Oz.
I know Ozma of Oz, yes.
Hey, ghouls, since I know you've both performed locally and abroad in venues both old and new with interesting histories, have you ever come across an unexplained or spooky situation while at said gigs, i.e. paranormal activity? I know Miss Vicky Vox, and I saw someone walk behind us in the mirror at Hamburger Mary's West Hollywood. We thought it was another queen that had show up, only seconds later to find that no one was up there with us when we turned around to greet them. Totally true story. Love your podcast. It's the perfect format for the two of you. Bugs and kisses. Oh, no, bugs and hisses. Ozma, that's cute.
Ooh, that's very
so
cute.
So have you experienced anything?
Well,
like that?
I think in particular that experience that they had was just Chad Michaels walked across the back.
Right, and then, or you Dolly
know,
Levi.
They're just old. They're ghosts. They're, you know, they're creepy figures that just sort of loom in dark corners and are actual ghosts. So that's what that was. But I don't think I actually have. I have been to places and performed at places that were considerably spooky in feeling, but I don't think I've actually ever experienced a ghost. Or maybe I'm just so consumed in the process that I'm not paying attention.
Well, I am incredibly, incredibly I wouldn't say obsessed, but I'm very interested and intrigued by anything paranormal. I love watching documentaries about it. I love watching like Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters. I love the Dead Files. I love shows like that. But I fully admit that I've not had those experiences. So when people say, oh, you must love it, you must know a lot about it, I don't know what it is to speak to the other side or anything like that, but I'm very intrigued by it and I'm very open to it. However, I have been to two places before outside of California where I've definitely felt like if I was going to experience something, it was in those places. One was a place, I want to say it's called Metro in Jacksonville, Florida, which is a huge entertainment complex. And when I was there, it happened to be some other things were going on that weekend in Jacksonville. So it was very quiet at the club. but it used to be a butcher. Like the whole place was like, a place where they, it was like that. Right. And fuck. Then it became some sort of something else. And then it became, so when you walk around, you can literally see where animals were hung, and it's a very old place. And then another place I'd been to, which I don't know what it was previously, but I will just, because maybe because it was nighttime or whatever, but it was the Eagle in Washington, D.C. I had an amazing time and I loved everyone there. I was treated like royalty the same way.
First of all,
in
anywhere called the Eagle anywhere in the world, I'm probably going to have a good time. And,
there's going to be
a lot more like beer to wine ratio. And people are going to smell a little bit like hairy buttholes. Okay,
which is perfect. The place is awesome. Everyone there was awesome. But you could tell there was something about the construction of the place that was very old. And there were lots of like little walkways to kind of nowhere almost. Like just cement stairs that would just stop. Ooh. So I don't know. It was very interesting to me. But I would love to go back there. And I don't know if I didn't ask anyone if it was particularly haunted or if they had experiences. But those two places I can remember thinking the history that already comes with the place must carry with it stories. So that always intrigues me.
Well, I'm not really quite sure if I've ever been to a place that was, haunted by ghosts, but sometimes my audience have been ghosts.
Well, like Sherry Needle says, a boo is applause from ghosts.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. With that said.
With that said, if you guys are interested in sending us a letter, or maybe you have an interesting picture, especially a picture of myself and Raja, maybe you took one of those pictures back in the day, send it to us. Send it to us at deltaandraja@gmail.com. And our amazing production staff will look at that and forward it so we can talk about it on the podcast. Right here on Very That.
Cut-cut-a-call.
Yeah. So I think it's time to take a little break, and we will be right back to see something.
See something.
See something.
See something. Yeah. We're back. Took a little break. I got some wine out of the fridge. I smoked American Spirit, kind of going about my day. Took a little break.
Well, you know what? I think it's time to take a trip down memory lane.
I love this.
To a photo from our drag days past, which, we have a lot of really, really great photos from a set group of venues, pretty much Rage, Peanuts, or what's called Club 7969. If people don't know, when we say Peanuts, Peanuts is 7969, which is on Santa Monica Boulevard, that I don't even know what it is now. I'm sure it's still a nightclub, but once upon a time it was that. But this picture is from the Rage days again, and this is us around Halloween, because if people don't know, for a lot of drag entertainers, Halloween is not just October 31st. I mean, obviously, it's all year round because you're dressing up like someone or something else. But there's definitely a type of number that makes the most sense for if you don't normally do them throughout the year, makes the most sense from the month of or the beginning of October all the way through. And so they're a bit thematic. And this picture here, I don't know specifically what, I know it was around Halloween, but this is us in thematic dress.
For Halloween, yeah. Well, the thing about Halloween is that it is our religion.
Right.
It is our absolute, like, it is what we need. It's what we wait for. And the fact that it happens on October 31st allows us that to own that entire month.
Right.
As being Halloween time. And that's the time when we go for it and bring out all the spookiest, all the most colorful, all the most experimental, all the things that are just like Halloween the house down boots.
Yeah. And I think the same thing kind of goes for a birthday too. Like for a drag entertainer, many times, because what you do in drag, your social is also your professional. So some people you'll only see a few times a month or once at this location. So when it's your birthday is essentially all month long, because somebody might go, oh girl, I'll see you in Palm Springs, or I'll see you in San Diego, or when you fly up to Sacramento, I'm going to see you. We're going to celebrate your birthday. So you can't ever really miss a drag entertainer's birthday because it's all month. So you can just be like, Tuesday the 17th, Delta, even though I know your birthday is January 23rd, Tuesday the 17th, that's when we're celebrating it. But in this case, all month long is Halloween. This is you in this sort of couture, with the horns. You're horned. You're like a, which I love at Halloween when you go to like the Halloween club and you're looking for like a Maleficent costume, and they're like horned sorceress.
Yeah.
Or the, what is the one? We saw one that was Ariel, and it was called Lagoon Lass.
Lagoon Lass. You are so Lagoon Lass. You are.
And this is I'm in a clown. Once upon a time, I was very afraid of clowns. And what broke me of my fear of clowns was going to Not Scary Farm 1 year, many years ago. And there was a full clown maze. And we went in, and I fell in love. Like, I loved the idea of the sort of like sideshow. I don't find it scary anymore. I don't find it scary anymore. I love it because I also started performing in clown as a quote scary clown, I guess people would say. So I love it. I love it so much. And I love this particular one. It's kind of like a circus sideshow clown.
Yes.
I love that.
I think that's going to be the thing that I miss the most out of this Halloween. And to be honest, like in the last few years, I haven't done any of these things. But now that it's gone and we don't get to have it this year, I certainly yearn for it even more. Is going to things like Not Scary Farm or Universal Studios, whatever they call it there. And I love those. I love a good maze. In fact, back in the 90s, in the early 90s, when I first got fired from my job at MAC Cosmetics, I worked there for like 8 months and I was late all the time. And I got fired from Nordstrom, and it was during the fall. And I was hired by a friend who worked at Not Scary Farm during the haunt. And I did makeup for like that entire Halloween season. And I was maybe... how old was I? Maybe 20 years old, 19 or 20 years old. So that is my favorite. That's one thing I love and will miss this particular Halloween season, is being able to do that. Even though I haven't gone in the last few years. I actually thought that I was going to spend my Halloween this year in Mexico, because I planned on going to Puerto Vallarta just to get away and see some friends. But then I realized that the election was November 3rd. So I was like, no, I guess I'm going to stay home and leave the day after. So anyway.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Like, I feel like I've taken so many things for granted that I thought were always going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I would always have the option to go to Not Scary Farm. And I remember once upon a time, not just going
it's
to Not Scary
Farm.
It's
literally down the street from you. It's like
literally like three exits up. You know, it's not just that, but like, I remember once upon a time, we always took for granted that Elvira would always be at Not Scary Farm. And then when we realized there was going to be an end to that part of the era, like the face of it was going to change. Not that it was never not going to be good again, because it's always going to be great. But that element was something you always knew. We're going to go see the Mistress of the Dark at some point when we're there. There was one thing we used to like to not just get the tickets for Not Scary Farm, but we would get the like VIP experience that had the buffet. And so beforehand, you would go when it's still kind of light out, you would get in line, and you would go into this buffet that was set up by, you know, the Mrs. Knott's Chicken House.
And oh,
it was
the Chicken House!
Yes.
And the pie, bitch, the pie. Yes. Was it like boysenberry or something?
Yes,
shit?
And they would have characters come in and kind of saunter in and out while you were eating, and you would plan. You would have your map, and you would plan out like, okay, we're going to do this first, we're going to do that, we're going to go watch the show, we're going to... you know, the thing was always, if you got too scared of the street characters that would be walking around scaring you, you would just jump into a retail store. because they couldn't go into the retail store because you might knock something over. So I was always the one that just had bags of saltwater taffy because I got so goddamn scared. I'm like, oh, I have to go buy something. Or, oh, you guys are going to go over there. Let me hold everyone's jacket. So
oh my God.
I miss it. I miss that whole experience. And of course, everyone would go and be like, oh, girl, this is lame. Oh, you're lame. And, oh, God, I'm not scared. But it's the camaraderie and it's that experience and it's just an institution. It's an institution to go to Universal and all of that.
Well, there's two schools of it because I think that Knott's Berry Farm or Knott's Scary Farm always had a little bit of that hoodness.
Yes.
It just had that tinge in the air. It was like, it was Stevie Nicks, but it also involved an Ocean Spray cranberry bottle, you know?
Oh, like, love.
Yeah, it was, so that's, I'm going to miss that a lot. I'm definitely going to miss it. And what I've seen in a lot of friends, like stories and Instagram, like posts and stuff, is that there is still a continuation of this idea. Like people are still decorating their homes, which excites me and makes me happy that Halloween hasn't died through the pandemic. We're just kind of going through it in another way, you know?
Well, there are, in fact, people have found their way around it, and they're doing these things where you take your car and you pay a certain price for everyone in your car. So if there's two people or five people, however many, and you stay in your car and you drive through mazes. So it's something people are trying out, and you can actually do it. It's a real thing. And I've also seen where you can do like a dining with Jack and Sally. Is a thing. Oh. You can they're done socially distanced. I have not experienced any of them, but I've seen it come across my Instagram, and I've heard people talk about them. So there's options out there. But you know, for someone like myself, because I am able to work in a restaurant environment and be in drag, I'm still able to wear my Halloween costumes and or do my Halloween fair, if you will. I even have sitting over here on the mannequin like two.
I love that you use the word fair. I've been listening to you, but I love that word fair.
I do too.
F-A-I-R-E. Is that? It's F-A-I-R-E, right?
Fair. F-A-R-E. Fair. F-A-R-E.
Oh, F-A-R-E. Uh-huh. Okay. Fair.
Unless we're going to the Ren Fair, which is coming up. And
F-A-I-R-E.
Who knows,
F-A-I-R-E. Yeah.
But I have two costumes, two newer things over here. I have a Daphne from Scooby-Doo.
Ooh.
Remember Daphne? That's fun.
So Gigi Good.
Oh, does she do that too?
Are you Gigi Good?
Oh, you're giving me Gigi vibes.
Oh, it's very Gigi Good. It's so Gigi Good.
It's very that. Very that. You're very Gigi. You must be inspired by her. Yes. And then the other one is Endora. Endora. Do you remember Endora? You don't remember Endora.
Of course I remember Endora. Endora, like, changed my life. She is the mother of Samantha.
By the by, I just got a message, oddly enough, from Ozma. I think it's the same Ozma that wrote us the letter. If it's the same person.
There's no other.
If there is the same person, that we're talking about my drag daughter who sent this message and sent this email. But she sent me a thing where the creators of American Horror Story have launched an internet contest that I plan to win. And it is $25,000 to the person who uploads a picture and or video of themselves as a character from the new television show Ratched. Now, I told you, I'm obsessed with anything. My favorite season of American Horror Story was always Asylum, because I'm obsessed with the 60s and the idea of medicine as such a frightening, frightening piece of horror. I think there's something very scary about a hospital. And also, I live about 2 minutes from Metropolitan State Hospital, which is essentially at one time was considered a quote an insane asylum. And it is very old. There's doctors' homes on the premises. It's all dilapidated and only parts of it are in use. So when Ratched came out, I was like, oh my gosh, this reminds me of another telling also of that time period of American Horror Story, Asylum. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I plan to win that $25,000. So I am just, you know, calling all, I don't know, I don't have a name for, do you have a name for your fans or your followers? Are they called like the Rajettes?
I used to call them Entourage.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, back in the like Twitter days when that hashtag was necessary. But I'm like, follow me or not.
Yeah, because I always feel like it's a little bit lofty to like call. I don't like that because I'm afraid people are going to be like, well, bitch, how many people really are like, you know what I mean? So I don't have like necessarily workers, but I guess I could call them employees because they report to work. But no. So, you know, shit, when I get my shit up, I want to win that $25,000. Didn't you win?
I think I will.
I
won 75 and yeah. Yo. But no, that's a lot of money, but I think you will.
I think I will.
You're so detailed and like you, you know, like, yeah, it's, and it's
where are they?
Grand.
Are they over here? I already have the pins. I ordered the pins online so they would be exacted. But listen, a lot of people, whoever's going to, it's just an idea.
Are you going to do an actual Ratched? You're going to do her. Her as character, or
I don't know. All I know is that we had to really track down this fabric because the fabric was, wow. You know, it's one thing to just go get anything, but then I was like, we need it to be, you know, this. I fall back on what Hunter used to say to me, and I've said it before. I've probably said it on the podcast before, but it really is a piece of something I carry with me at all times, and that is, especially when you are a plus size performer or plus size entertainer or plus size drag, whoever, people are already not having much of an expectation. So people always assume, just make it funny and we won't care. Like, just be slovenly about it because it doesn't matter because we could never see you as being that fierce or that person because you're not capable because all we see is your size. And Hunter always used to say to me, if you're gonna make it funny, make it ironic that you are the size that you are and that you're doing that character.
But it's so perfectly done.
But clean it up so well that they can't read anything else because the only difference is the size. Do you remember that kind of a philosophy once upon a time?
It's coming back to me as you're speaking about it. And I think that is a very important thing because I think it's very easy to take what is seemingly your disadvantage and magnifying it, you know, and it's like
stating
the obvious. I'm fat, and I'm gonna make fun of myself before everybody. But if you do it so perfectly that you're
so let's win $25,000.
I'm gonna help you. What can I do for you?
Well,
do you want me to style your wig for you?
Well, I need
do you want me to do your makeup?
I need you to style my wig because clearly I can't do that anymore.
I'm gonna, if you need any help in any way, if you need to borrow jewelry, I might have something.
You're like, so, if you need any help, call Manila.
Yeah, leave me alone.
If you need help, call somebody else.
I'm watching documentaries that depress me and I'm crying.
I'll like and share.
Wow, we covered a lot really quickly today.
We did, but you know, we're getting in a groove here and I am so excited for more letters from people, more emails, more discussion.
All right, you guys, so both Delta and I really, really want to thank you for joining us this week. Just as a reminder, we're here every Monday and we want you to subscribe and make sure that you don't miss an episode ever. We're always here on a Monday.
So search for Very That with Delta and Raja on your favorite podcast app, and you absolutely have to hit subscribe, rate and review our show on your podcast app, because that is how other people get to find out about the conversations that we're having here and that you're having with us. It's the only way to really get the name of the podcast out there and for other people to join this wild and crazy time.
And you know what? We would like to encourage you to send us any of your questions, any inquiries, complaints maybe, but mostly questions. If you have any, send them to deltaandraja@gmail.com. And you can also follow us on Instagram at mine, which is @SutanAmrul, and Delta's @DeltaWork.
Yeah, and don't send any complaints because those go right into the junkie, right into the round file. But in any event, we'll be back next week with a very new episode of Very That. And we'll see you then.
Very
Chicken!
Forever Dog.
Very That is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, aka Mom.
Hosted by Delta Work and Raja.
Music, sound design, and editing by Will Pitts.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.